Good morning. As you can tell, I'm not Ron. He is ill at the moment, and we wish him the very best. And he should be back with us, I would think, by next Sunday. This morning, I would like to speak through the words of a prophet, Haggai. So if you have a Bible, please get it. Otherwise, you're going to be off board this morning. And we're going to look at some words that he has from the Lord. And I'd like to, if I could, preface this, however, by laying a little bit of a foundation in regards to the Word of God and how it really is inspired, and that it's not just simply by mere men. So if you have your Bibles, or if you're looking at it online, if you would, I'd like for you to go to several passages for me, because this will actually lay some groundwork that I think will then better introduce Haggai, since we don't go there very often. And he was a minor prophet and one of the last three prophets in the Old Testament. We know very little about him, as well as some of the prophets we know very little about, other than the fact that God wanted to use certain people at certain times for certain reasons. And so we're going to find those out. And as someone told me yesterday, Danny, when you get up and talk about God in the Bible, I notice you use the Bible a lot. And I said, well, yeah, I kind of have to. Otherwise, I don't need to be getting up and talking. And I said, and also don't rely upon me, because if it's just me speaking, then it's just not going to go well. So what I need to try to do, if I can, is ask the Spirit of God, which dwells within me, that I now have received by believing in Jesus Christ, and that helper and that counselor is with me every day. And so as a result, when I think about what I'm going to talk about, or when I think about anything that I'm doing, then I'll do one of two things. Number one is, Holy Spirit, if you would, remove any obstacles that are getting in the way between me and you, because I don't want anything to stop the Word of God flowing from the spiritual blessing, not from the physical blessing. So I don't want to be just a physical person up here just saying words. I would like for them to be inspired. And so for that to happen, it needs to be by the Holy Spirit. So my prayer this morning is that will be done. But if you would, I'd like for you to go to Peter, and let me get it here for you, because it's a very powerful passage about the fact that the prophets of old were not actually done with simply looking at their own will, but it would be by the will of being inspired by the Holy Spirit. So, first of all, let's go back, go to Haggai, because that's going to be the toughest for you. And it's in the Old Testament, and just go to the very back part of the Old Testament, and you're going to have to really kind of search there. Because Haggai is between Zephaniah and Zechariah. And, of course, you're saying, well, I don't even know where those are. But believe me, you'll find it there. Okay, so once you go to Haggai, hold on to that. And we're just going to really spend a little bit of time there. But I want you to go, if you could, to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 20 through 21. 2 Peter chapter 1. And then I want you to, if you would, read with me these particular words. And if you can, this is something I ask the Holy Spirit to do with you, and that is allow the Holy Spirit to allow you to remember, because we're told in Romans that one of the things the Holy Spirit will do, as well as in John 14, is that the Holy Spirit will allow us to remember. And so this is one of the verses that I hope that you'll remember any time that you're reading Scripture. And so if you would, go to verse 20, 2 Peter chapter 1. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Now that's a powerful verse, because that helps you when people are asking, I read the Word of God, I get nothing out of it. Or how do I know that it was just simply men writing it? Well, this particular passage tells us Yeah, it was men, but it wasn't by their will. It was by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So when we get ready to read Haggai here in a few moments, it's Haggai speaking, but it's really the Spirit speaking through Haggai. Is that all right? And that also applies to us. And a benefit to this lesson this morning is that I'm going to try to, if I can, parallel Haggai's message with us here in this church and the church in general, and see how that goes and where it impacts us. And it's going to hit you as an individual as well as the body of Christ. Now, if you would, let's go to the one that you're most familiar with, which is 2 Peter chapter 3, or excuse me, 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting with verse 16. And of course, this is the New Testament passage that is probably most quoted. And it was Paul to young Timothy, and basically he's trying to get him to understand the same principle of the Word of God. And so, if you would, let's look at that. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Starting with verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So, all Scripture. What is talking about all Scripture? Was he talking about to Timothy? I'm talking to Timothy about all the New Testament books. No, he's talking about the Old Testament books. That was their Bible. In fact, if he were asked the question, well, what Bible did Jesus have? Did he look up Romans? No, he was quoted, remember, in the wilderness by the devil. He quoted Deuteronomy. He quoted Old Testament. But there's also a little hint that we also get from Jesus when he was on the road of Emmaus after the resurrection. You remember that? Go to Luke 24. Now, I'm going to have you move a little bit, but that keeps you awake. Luke 24. It's kind of fun to just play with the Bible and let God speak to us through his word. It's just really neat. And if you remember, after the resurrection, these two Emmaus disciples were walking, and they were all despondent, and they were down and out about the fact that they thought that this Jesus was the right person that was going to come and save the world. And instead, he was executed in a most terrible way. And so Jesus is behind him walking. And then notice what is happening as he's walking with them. Now, at first, they don't recognize him at all. And so he begins talking. And if you'll notice, he starts with verse 27. Now remember, this is Jesus walking behind the two disciples. And beginning with Moses, this is Jesus, and beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, notice prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself and all the scriptures. So here Jesus is proclaiming to these two disciples about Moses and all the prophets and all the scriptures that he felt were important for them to know. And then notice how they receive it. Verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And notice verse 32, though. This is where the inspiration comes. And they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? Isn't that beautiful? So they began to have a burning, they began to have a yearning, they began to have a prompting, and they began to have their hearts open to where they actually could see Jesus. And that's just like us. Sometimes we get the world so involved in us that we sometimes block out and we have our eyes closed to Jesus. And this is what we're going to learn from Haggai today, is that we want to make sure our eyes are open, but we need help, and Jesus gives that. Read John 14, 15, 16. He talks about the fact that he tells his disciples, it's important that I go away so that the Holy Spirit can come and dwell within each one of you. And I've had people come up to me and say, well, wouldn't it be kind of neat if just Jesus walked in the room? We just kind of hung around with Jesus. Yeah, it would. But then he'd be limited, would he not? And so now he's not. He's in each one of us, to those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. All right, let's go to Haggai. And this isn't going to be long, so you're going to have to get it quick here. I'll let the Spirit deal with that, though. To a little introduction to Haggai, this is around 520 B.C., not that that means anything to you, but it's a date and time. And so what has happened is the Jews were in captivity in Babylon. And we all, those of us that are reading the Bible and understand the Bible a little bit, is that we knew that they were put into exile and due to their disobedience. And so now they are, have been there for a long period of time. And what you see 16 years prior to this Haggai coming to the scene is you see that emperor of Persia, Cyrus, allowed them to, some, to come back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. All right? And of course, you get to see this repetition in other prophets. Ezra, for instance, even mentions Haggai in chapter 5 about him coming and proclaiming God's word and how important it was to glorify God again through the building of the temple. And so Cyrus, even though he was an emperor of Persia, he decided to do a decree and said, you know what, go ahead, some of you, if you want to, go back to Jerusalem. I'll allow you to do that. So some 50,000 Jewish folks, exiles, came back to Jerusalem, or they actually lived near Jerusalem. Now, what was interesting also is that there were many more that were still in exile in Babylon, and they chose to stay there. Isn't that interesting? So what you have is some chosen people that is called a remnant, as we move on into these chapters, that actually go back to Jerusalem for the purpose of building the temple, and they had the passion and the desire to do it. And if you go back and look at Ezra, you'll see how all the tribes broken out and all they come back. So now you see a very special thing occurring. So they go back. Well, guess what? Cyrus gets killed in battle. So his successor comes forward and was pressured, but basically stopped everything when they got back. And what they had done is they'd actually gone to the actual temple area. Everything was just trashed out in disarray, and they actually cleared out the foundation and built an altar there, and they actually were using it for worship. But because of the fact that there wasn't any real strength there to give them any type of passion to do anything, they began to slide. They began to just simply live for themselves. And so 16 years, that was in 536, 16 years later, God says, you know what? Nothing's happening here. So it's time to act. So he sends Haggai, a guy that we don't know anything about. Okay, that often happens in the scriptures. And this is what I love about that because, you know, I always consider myself a nobody. So God, if you use nobodies, I'm here. Isn't that wonderful? It doesn't have to be somebody that's got all the riches that you think of, all the education you think of. If God wants to use you, he's going to use you in whatever place you're in whatever state you're in, because he has the power to do that. So here comes Haggai onto the scene, and let's, if we can, go to Haggai, and let's just go through some verses here and watch now the parallel that we can use upon ourselves here. So we'll do a little self-reflection here, but also listen to the Word of God, which now we understand to be totally inspired by the Spirit, and we'll learn that here in a minute. In the second year of Darius, now Darius was the king of Persia, on the first day of the sixth month, that's important too, remember that, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, who became the new governor of Judah, and to Josiah, who was the high priest. So here, this prophet comes to these two gentlemen. Thus says the Lord of hosts in verse 2, this people says, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Now notice what he's saying. Here's a complaint right now that he has of the people. They don't think it's time yet. Isn't that interesting? So whose time are we really on? My time or God's time? They came back for a specific purpose. wasted 16 years, and now Haggai is saying, think it's time. Verse 3, then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate. Verse 5, now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So he's basically letting them know, you know what? It's okay to take care of your house and your family, and have a job, and do all the things that are necessary for those needs. But what's the greatest need of all right now? And that's to glorify me. You're only going to be able to do that when you get within your own heart that I'm first. And so go build my house. Verse 6, I love this one because it hits me head on. You have sown much but harvest little. You eat but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink but there's not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to be put in a purse with holes. Do we have an inflation problem today? Well, they had one too. But you see, what is interesting is even though you think you may have it all, you still want more. You know, my father was a workaholic. He worked all the time, even on weekends. And growing up, I said, you know, I'm not going to be that kind of a person where I just work all the time. But he had to do it because my mother didn't work. And guess what? I soon landed a government job, and Perry will probably tell you, but don't let him tell you too much, is that I worked all the time. And I had it down so good because I was an administrator, an executive in government, and so I would receive 100 to 150 emails a day. And I was in meetings all day. And so, well, guess what? I had to take the stuff home at night. And then I had to work on the weekends. Every Sunday after I'd leave church, I'd go work in order to be able to get through all those emails. So I was just in kind of a little hamster, just running around a little cage. And my little family suffered from that. And we see the results of some of it today. So he's telling these people here, all that's important. You got to do it. You're a responsible person, so you should be responsible for those needs that you have. But don't forget me. I'm your Lord. I'm the one who can give you blessing. I'm the one who can make you more than what you are. I'm the one who can take the impossible and make it possible. And then he says again in verse 7, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So he has them just pause and says, you know what? Let's think about it here for a minute. Consider your ways. My dad used to do that to me too. He just liked to repeat himself. Are you understanding what I'm saying, son? Yeah, Dad, I'm understanding. About a minute later, are you truly understanding what I'm telling you? Well, this is the way it was with prophets. This is the way it was with Jesus. Often repetition is something that's needed to get it across. In verse 8, he tells them to go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts, because of my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I call for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, and what the ground produces, on the men, on cattle, and all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel and Joshua, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent them, and the people showed reverence for the Lord. All of a sudden you have a turning. And that's what it means to be born again. You are having a complete turn. You're recognizing your sin. You're acknowledging what should be most important in your life. And so you're listening and hearing the voice of the Lord. And if you'll see here through the passages and throughout all of Scripture, you'll see that you begin to open your eyes, you begin to listen to Scripture when the Spirit speaks to you through His Word and through His actions and through His circumstances. But notice here, there's some even more encouragement that I think should go to us too. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people, saying, I am with you, declares the Lord. Now notice verse 14. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and Joshua and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And then what happened? They came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Isn't that a beautiful story? They have now been moved. They now have passion again. They now are doing what they should have been doing in the first place. They put their priorities where they needed to be. But I also want to notice in verse 15, and on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of Darius the king. Now, when I read verse 1 a while ago, it said, in the second year of Darius, on the first day of the sixth month. So all of this change occurred in 23 days. Isn't that amazing? No, it's not. That's God working through people. So just as he has worked through people of those days, he now works through us. And that's why we are encouraged by the fact that God is able to stir us through his Holy Spirit to do that which is most important. And that is simply obey God and allow God to take your life and take it wherever it needs to go. In whatever path it needs to happen, serve the Lord. Now, if you go to chapter 2, and we're not going to go there because I'm going to have to end here, is that I just want to do a few verses here because it's important to, again, bring up the Spirit. And let's just start, if we can, with verse 4 of chapter 2. And now take courage. Here's encouragement. Zerubbabel, Joshua, and all the people of the land, take courage, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. As for the promise which I made you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth and the sea also and the dry land. And he talks about a later glory of the house. But notice in verse 5, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. Now you see, back in this time, God spoke through people and circumstances, and they didn't actually have the ability of having the Spirit dwell within them in a permanent way. That happened with Christ. Now here's something interesting about Jesus. As often as he walked with his disciples, if you remember reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and even through Paul's teachings, you'll see that in the early days, before Jesus was glorified on the cross, did they have the Holy Spirit within their heart in a permanent basis? No, they kept questioning, you're going to do what? What do you mean you're going to die? What does that mean? But then when he became glorified, and of course, we learn in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, what happened? The transformation happened, and Moses even proclaimed this back in his day. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone had the Spirit? Well, that's now possible for you and me. Because through Christ being glorified on the cross, now the Helper and the Comforter now can come. And as Jesus said, it's better that I go back to the Father so that the Comforter and the Helper can come and be within you and help you. So when we sometimes feel like, well, let's talk about the church for a moment. We're a small group now. Well, that was a pretty small group when you talk about the Jewish exiles. But they were still able to do wonderful things because through the Spirit and with God among them, they were able to do God's work. You know, one person looked at this particular chapter and he says, you know what's amazing about this particular group of people and this situation with Haggai is that they were the right people for God to deal with. You're the right people for God to deal with. They were in the right place. We're in the right place. They were there for the right reason. We're here for a right reason as well. To serve our Lord, to proclaim our Lord, and to grow in our Lord, and expand the gospel to whoever we can expand it to. we're going to have an opportunity here this Thursday night to begin what I think can be a very promising and a very fulfilling ministry in regarding the spreading of the gospel. Now, Peter's just a man, but if the Lord, through his Spirit, works through Peter and works through each one of us, then we know we can build upon that, and the foundation can be strong because it's founded upon Jesus Christ. We're also going to have some other situations that are going to come up where you're going to be asked for suggestions and recommendations. And so with the hope of the Spirit with us, then we can grow from that as well. You know, when there was a little saying one time where somebody came up to Jesus when he was in heaven, and he said, "Well, now that you're up here, what's going to go on down there?" He said, "It's going to be wonderful, because," he said, "I'm in them, so I'm everywhere." And so that's what we want to be encouraged by this morning, I think, is Haggai, through his word from the Spirit, is telling them as well as telling us, be of courage, do not fear. God is in our midst, and anything and everything can happen. If you would bow with me in prayer. Dear Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your Spirit. And Father, we just ask that we be able to remember your word and your promises, and that we know that you love us, and we know that we've been able to be redeemed by your Son Jesus on the cross. We know that through the resurrection of your Son that we have life eternal, and that death has been conquered. And Father, we just ask that we be a people of action, and that your Spirit will abide in each one of our hearts, and your Spirit will direct us, and especially, Father, be with this church. But I pray for every church this morning that's proclaiming your word, that that same blessing occur. Be with those that aren't with us this morning. Help them and encourage them as well, whether it be a health issue or financial issue or whatever issue, Father, it may be. We know that if we put you first, that you're going to be there for us. And regardless of whether we ask you, Father, as believers, we know that you're always going to be present and you hear our prayers. Again, Father, thank you for the blessing of this day. May we leave this place as ambassadors. May we leave this place ready and willing to witness. May we leave this place willing to grow. But may we also recognize the importance of your word and how you speak through it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you have any need this morning, we do allow a few moments for that. And if you wish to come and have prayer, that's what we're here for. Or baptism, whatever your need may be, then we want to give you that invitation as we stand and sing.